Good morning. Is it not a great, beautiful morning out there this morning? Before we get started, if you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And there are several announcements I want to bring special attention to. One today, we got a special chat and sip right after church for honoring Pastor Walt and Annie as pastor appreciation for this year. Second thing is, let me get some glasses so I can make sure I get everything right. Friday, October 29th, we've got our second movie night, and the movie this time is Faith Like Potatoes. And I've seen this movie, and if you haven't seen it, it's really, really encourage you to come and see it. I think it'll be beneficial to you. And also coming up in elections, the officers are coming up, and we worked around everybody's schedule, and hopefully everybody will be here on December 5th. And then Kathy Matheson, I think, has
December 5th.
Yeah, December 5th, not November, December, okay? The reason being is I'm out of town one Sunday, the Mathesons are out of town one Sunday, and we're all running for re-election, so we felt it was important that the people be here that are actually running for election on the vote. So. Kathy, you got a...
Yes. It's that time of the year again, Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child. We're asking that you pack us a shoebox. You can go onto their website. It will give you some directions. I will print off some directions and labels. We will have some boxes here. We have a few downstairs now, and... But the middle of November is when the collection date is, and I will let you know the exact Sunday, but I'll have everybody bring their shoe boxes when they complete them up here on that Sunday. Or you can bring them ahead of time when you finish them, and I'll explain where to place them in my Sunday school classroom upstairs. But just keep that in mind, and I'm trying to give plenty of notice so everybody can work on it. And we'd like a good representation from the church this year. Thank you.
And also, today is Edwin and Sue Jessick's last Sunday with us. As you know, they're part-time residents now, and so they're going to head back for Florida this next week. So if you have a chance after church today, tell them, wish them luck, okay? And one other thing, yesterday was our choir director's birthday, and I asked Betty, his wife, if she would, to play Happy Birthday, and let's sing Happy Birthday to John.
Happy birthday to you.
If there's no other announcements, if you would take your bulletin, and let's turn to the inside cover and do the unison reading that's printed there together. And it reads, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence.
Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. We'll sing this together. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning just lifting your name up and praising you and thanking you for the privilege of being here in your house to worship. We ask, Lord, that your presence be with us. Be with those who couldn't be with here this morning because of illness or whatever, and the ones that are shut in, Lord, we just ask that your presence and your spirit be with them. Help us as a church to remember those that can't be here and just reach out and comfort them. We ask now that you guide us, direct us, and forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'll turn in your hymnal to number 19. A great Fanny Crosby hymn, To God Be the Glory.
And as you know, we're going through the shorter catechisms, and this morning we're going to do questions 67, 68, and 69. I'll read the question, you do the answer that's printed in bold in your bulletin. Question 67, which is the sixth commandment?
The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill.
What is required in the sixth commandment?
The sixth commandment requires all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the life of others.
What is forbidden in the sixth commandment?
The sixth commandment forbids the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbor unjustly or whatsoever may lead thereunto.
And as we come to the time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:10, and it reads, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings here to your storehouse, and we ask that you bless each gift, Lord, and each giver, and help us as a church to use these funds wisely, Lord, to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, John. We have such a great opportunity as we gather together to lift up the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ, the needs of our community, the needs of our nation. And we pray to an almighty and a sovereign God who has all things in his hands. So it's right that we would pray to him and call upon him. So let's bow as we pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and grateful that we serve a living God, that, Lord, you're not a God made of wood or stone, but you are alive. In fact, you promise us that as we gather together, even here this morning, that you're here with us by your Spirit. And, Lord, we welcome you here, and we ask you to touch each one of our hearts and lead us into a deeper and closer relationship to you. Father, I pray and ask this morning that your Holy Spirit might reach out and touch those who are struggling with difficulties and problems, for those who have medical issues, physical problems. Lord, we know that you're the great healer, that you are the great physician. And so we call upon you, Lord, to touch each physical body, for those who are in pain, for those who are suffering even as we speak, those who are listening over the internet or through a CD, that, Lord, you'd reach out by your Spirit and just touch each one and heal them. Father, for those who are struggling this morning with emotional problems or difficulties, with anxiety or with fear or with worry or with grief, Lord, we ask and pray that you would help us by your Spirit to cast these anxieties onto you, knowing that you care for us. Father, we pray specifically this morning for Carol Marks. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to surround her with your loving care in the loss of her husband, Jim. And Lord, that you would encourage her and strengthen her through the body of believers, through this fellowship. Lord, we also pray and ask that you would help us as a people, that you would help us as a nation. Lord, we recognize that we are a nation divided, that there are those who are desiring to move in other directions. And Lord, we just pray that it might be through your Spirit that you would bind us once again together as a nation. Oh, Lord, you have sent revivals in the past. You have sent awakenings in the past. And Lord, we pray that the moving of your Spirit would be irresistible, that men might surrender their prejudices and their difficulties and problems and instead surrender to you and come to you as their Savior. Our Lord, we do pray for our community here in Asheville. We pray that the name of Jesus might be lifted up and that many might come to you and be drawn to you. Lord, this morning as we worship together, we pray that your Holy Spirit might open up our hearts and our eyes and our ears, that we would know your truth. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 356. I know whom I have believed. Please stand and we'll sing this together.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. And our scripture reading is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 and reading verses 27 to 31. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. And hear now the word of God. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall be exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. I forget who it was that told me that this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and I know today that we're going to be joining together and celebrating that, but you know, when somebody told me that, I thought, well, this is time for the pastor to show his appreciation, because I do appreciate Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church. The people here over the last 2 years have become very, very close to me, like my family, and I can't express enough gratitude to all of you for what a wonderful congregation you are and for how you radiate the love of Jesus Christ. And I definitely appreciate you. That's my pastor appreciation right there. Thank you. You know, we have to have a place where we can go and where we can celebrate our Heavenly Father. You know, all week long we're facing the difficulties and problems and struggles of this world. And we need a place where we can go, where we are loved and where we're appreciated, and where people aren't trying to tear us down, but they're trying to build us up. It seems like the world around us has just gone crazy. And even over the last several weeks, it just seems like it's multiplying, it's growing. You know, we read in the paper, we hear on the news or we see in magazines or whatever, some of the things that are taking place right now, some of the proposals that are being made in Congress, some of the laws that they're trying to pass, and we read this and we think, well, can this really be America? Can this be our country that we're talking about here? You know, how quickly our lives have changed, specifically because of a pandemic, because of a virus. And it's not just America, it's the world. How it's affected our world. Suddenly, our future becomes very uncertain. And we wonder, well, what will tomorrow hold? What's happening down the road? Where are we going to be going? And it just seems like the more we listen, the more we read, the more we watch on television, it all spells out this gloom and doom that's heading our way. We're talking here about food shortages, about how the supply chain has been disrupted, and now we're going to begin to see empty shelves in our grocery stores. This is not fabrication, this is real. Something that we need to consider and think about. We're looking at runaway inflation. In fact, I was reading just yesterday that the inflation rate already in 2021 has hit 5.3%. Am I right about that? It's right around 5.3%. And the year isn't even over. We still have the rest of October, November, and December to go through. There's violence everywhere we look. You know, it's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty sight. We're also told now that, you know, they're expecting a very cold winter this year here in this area. And that's coupled by the fact that our fuel costs are rising dramatically. If you have fuel oil, if you have natural gas, if you have propane, whatever you're heating your homes with, it's expected to rise dramatically, very quickly here. Let me just read this to you. I copied this because I felt like it was something that affected all of us. American households' heating bills are expected to spike this winter, so says federal agency. Propane costs are forecast to rise by 54%. Heating oil costs to rise by 43%. Natural gas costs to rise by 30%. And electricity costs to rise by 6%. So, you know, we're looking at some dramatic increases here over the next few months. You know, we got up this morning where we were, it was 38 degrees. And it's like, well, I guess summer's over. You know, it's cold out there. We're supposed to have frost tonight. So anyway, you know, and it's not just here in America. I mean, what we're facing here is going on all over the world. Problems, great problems. Australia, you're seeing the crowds in Melbourne and some of the other Australian cities and how the police are cracking down on these people that are demonstrating. In England, same thing. In Canada, in Spain, in Italy. We could go on. Paris. It's not just here. It's everywhere. All over the world, just a growing unrest, a growing unhappiness in the world right now. And this causes people to look, especially at Christians and the churches, and to say, now you believe that there's a God. And you believe that that God is over all things. So I have to ask you this question. Where in the world is he? Where is he? If God exists, why isn't he doing something? We know our traditional view of God, basically, is being challenged. Now, last Sunday, we talked about the sovereignty of God, the fact that he is in control, he is over all things, that he is a God that we can trust. And in our traditional view of God, we believe that God is protecting us from evil, that God shields us from this evil. And over time, we've grown insensitive to the problems that have always existed in this world. In America, we've, for the most part, been sheltered from a lot of the problems that the rest of the world, the Christians and the rest of the world, have gone through. The attacks on Christians, which are going on all over. Right now in Nigeria, Christians are being pulled out of their homes and they're being put to death. And that's as of about 3 days ago. I get these articles that share what's happening to the church around the world. And in Nigeria especially, the Christian church is undergoing tremendous persecution, but they're certainly by far not the only country where Christians are going through this kind of persecution. And it's hard for us to consider that God would just stand by and allow his people to suffer that way. If you look at world history, you have to see that there have been very few times when Christians have escaped persecution. Since the end of World War II, we here in America, as Christians, have enjoyed a time of peace as believers. We've been relatively free to worship God as we choose and as we desire. And unfortunately, we've taken that for granted. We've not done anything to try to protect that. We've just allowed life to go on and just believe that everything is okay, when all along there's been a force at work to undermine and to tear down and to destroy. We've taken our blessings for granted. And at times like this, it causes us to reconsider who God really is and what God's purpose really is. Hard times always cause us to consider who God is. If you've gone through a difficult time, if you've gone through shortages, if you've gone through pain, if you've gone through accidents in your life, all these things tend to make you look at God and say, well, God, where were you when all this happened? Why weren't you there to protect? Did you happen to fall asleep and maybe in the middle of the night, the enemy came in and did all these things? It's funny, you know, Jesus gave a parable about the enemy slipping in. This is in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 26. And this is what Jesus said. This was part of his parable right after the sower and the soils. And it says this: he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And so you wonder, well, what is it, God? I mean, Was your back turned when this enemy was coming in and sowing these seeds of rebellion and distrust and hatred? And now they're bearing fruit. Now they're out there. And we always consider those kinds of things when we're struggling, when we're having a difficult time. And it's an age-old question. People have always asked that question. Well, God, why do you allow these things to happen? In fact, there was a rabbi by the name of Harold Kushner, and he wrote a book. Some of you are familiar with it. It's Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And basically, in this book, he makes this statement. God does his best to help suffering people, but he cannot prevent evil. And I thought, boy, you have really missed the mark on that one. As if somehow God is powerless to protect. But you see, that's the way the world looks at God when Christians are struggling. Where is your God now? Where in the world is he? But you know, if God is sovereign, if God is over all things, then how can this be? In this morning's text, Isaiah, speaking under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator." And what he was saying was, don't allow these problems on earth to move your thought away from an all-powerful and all-sovereign God. It doesn't change him. God exercises his authority over all the earth. In the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 35, it says this, "All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but God does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" Daniel was expressing God's sovereignty over all things on this earth. You know, God is even sovereign over our weather. And the Bible talks about that too. In the book of Job, it's so interesting to see this, but Job says, "God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. For to the snow, he says, 'Fall on the earth,' and likewise to the downpour, his mighty downpour. He seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he made may know it. Then the beasts go into their lairs and remain in their dens. And from its chambers come the whirlwind and the cold from the scattering winds. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. His clouds scatter his lightning." See how many references there are here to natural phenomena here on earth. The weather, God is in control of every bit of it. The whirlwind, that'd be the tornado and the hurricane, God is in control of those things. It's not by chance. It's all by the hand of an almighty God. And Job, the book of Job ends this in this chapter, "Whether for correction or for his land or for love, he causes it to happen." Now, that's an interesting thing. Whether it's for correction or for his land or for love, God does it. He causes this to happen. It's all by his hand. But you know, we could say, well, if God is a God of love, how is it that he allows us to go through these times of difficulty, these struggles, the sorrow of losing someone we love? Why does he let us go through those things? You know, there are many times that God, in those events, shows us his love. He gives us strength to overcome. In the passage that we read this morning, and it's familiar to all of us, when he says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" he talks about the fact that God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. God lets us run out of ourselves. He lets us go to the end of our ability to help us until there's nothing left and we're weak and we're flat. and then he gives us strength. And he lets us know it's by his gracious and loving and merciful hand that he redeems us, that he saves us from that. He gives us strength that we can prevail. He gives us a promise right here, and that promise basically is our hope. It's in verse 31 of our text. It says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And what the Lord is sharing with us through that time is, I know that you're tired. I know that you're growing weary. We've been in this partial lockdown, you might say, for now a year and a half, going on 2 years. And I know that people are tired and they're weary. And now we're seeing evidence that it's not only going to continue, but it's going to get worse because of the side effects of all this, how much it's affected. And we look at all of it, and it's easy to get discouraged and lose hope. And that's why we can't look at the circumstances. We have to look at the God who controls them. God continues to be sovereign over all things. He's not given up his right to be the sovereign God. Now, I know that the days ahead are going to be difficult. We're entering into a holiday season, a time when we typically get together as families and we rejoice, and there's always plenty. We celebrate on Thanksgiving the bounty that God has given. And people are saying, no, the shelves will be empty. There'll be nothing there. I mentioned last week what Habakkuk said. You know, though the stalls are empty and there's no fruit on the vine, and he paints this picture of total devastation. He says, yet I will exalt in the Lord, in the sovereign God. I will exalt in him. And I believe that this is an act of the will. I believe it's a choice on our part that we can give in to the fear, we can give in to what the doomsayers are spouting, we can give in to that, or we can look beyond that and see the God who has always been our provider. He has always taken care of us from the beginning. Even in those times when we were so weak, and I'll bet if we went around the room, many of you could testify to the fact that there were times when you didn't know where your next piece of bread was going to come from, and yet somehow God carried you through that. And he's reestablished you, put you back on your feet. We can always look back and give thanks to God, but that should cause us now to have the strength to look forward and to know that this same God will provide and he will take care of us. We can do everything within our power to avoid what's ahead. But our ability is limited. There comes a time when we can't buy enough food. We can't buy enough toilet paper. We can't buy enough provisions to last forever. There comes a time when we have to be flat and cry out to God and say, "Oh Lord, I call upon your name. I surrender to you." And I believe that when that happens, the Lord says, they who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not grow faint. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are thankful that you have never deserted us. You've never forsaken us. And that's been your promise. And Lord, we pray that whatever we may see with our eyes right now, it would only cause us to place our trust in you even more. Lord, you're our God. You are our sovereign. And we call upon your name in this hour. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 5. We'll sing the first 3 verses here, and then the 4th verse for our benediction response. So please stand and we'll sing these first three verses. Number 5, How Great Thou Art.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.